the Fade the Noise podcast with Brad Evans and Nate Lundy.
Place your bets. Brad the Big Noise Evans here, joined by the good sir Nathaniel Lundy. This is the Fade the Noise podcast, and we had some breaking news here on this Friday news dump, as New Orleans Saints, according to Ian Rappaport, are likely going to be out without the services of Michael Thomas, their stud megastar wide receiver, potentially, according to Larry Holder of The Athletic, for up to the first 5 games of the regular season. Lundy, still some residual impacts from the offseason ankle surgery that he underwent. So obviously this is a knockout punch for this Saints team, and one, you know, they may not be able to get off the mat from the rest of the season. You look at the New Orleans Saints right now, they are projected to have 9 wins. That is the over underline unanimously across sportsbooks and at BetMGM and DraftKings. It is juiced to the over, believe it or not. And in light of this news, Lundy, at minus 105, I would bang out the under on that total. You look at the Saints in their first 5 games, they got a middle of the pack projected strength of schedule. But the first 5 games at home against Green Bay, we'll see if Aaron Rodgers is going to be under center for the Packers, at Carolina, at New England, the Giants at home, and at Washington. Then they got the bye week, which would make sense then for Thomas to return week 7 at Seattle. But will his conditioning be up to par? Is he going to be on some sort of snap count for the first couple of games? I mean, it's entirely realistic. Also, not knowing who is going to be quarterbacking for this team, and also knowing that the crutches to lean on are Marquez Callaway, Tre'Quan Smith, and Adam Trautman. And Smith has had his moments, but has largely been wildly inconsistent. They either, you know, feature Alvin Kamara like 30 times over the first 5 weeks, or this team, whether it's Taysom Hill or Jameis Winston, is looking at being underwater with maybe only a couple of wins to their name. So you with me on hammering the under 9 wins after we heard this Michael Thomas likely out for the first 5 games news?
I've already backed up a Brinks truck, brother. we're going under 9 on this one. I feel like the only solution here is that the Saints are going to have to go out and pick up somebody, trade for somebody, hope that somebody gets cut in camp that's a surprise. I mean, they're going to have to do something to be able to help out the wide receiving core. But I'm going to put on my tinfoil hat here for a second, Brad. What are you doing waiting until June to do this surgery, which is apparently when he did it? This is almost like Michael Thomas going, yeah, this team's going to suck and I don't really want to participate. This is weird, dude, to have somebody wait this long for an ankle injury that, remember, happened towards the end of the game in week 1 last year.
It plagued him the entire year.
Yes. So for this to be something that he did, that according to reports, the surgery was in June, and now he's in this timeline where he's likely to miss, as you said, the first 5 games of the season, come back after the bye week in week 6. This is a dude that seems to be saying, you guys have some fun without me. I'll be over here if you need me.
Yeah, maybe he's just like, hey, I'm going to get some beignets here locally and at Cafe Du Monde. Peace out. I'm just going to hang out, gain about 20 pounds and let you guys just circle the drain very slowly this entire year.
He's got one of those like 4-foot-tall yard drinks just full of a hurricane. That's what it is.
Yeah. Well, those slushy drinks, man, they'll give me one hell of a hangover, and I think it's going to be a throbbing headache for New Orleans Saints fans for much of this year. Welcome to the post-Drew Brees era, Saints fans. Maybe not fly the fleur-de-lis anytime soon. All right. Best of luck to Michael Thomas. But, yes, we are on the under 9 wins for this Saints franchise this season. All right. Let's get to it with this Friday edition of the Fade 5.
Number 5.
All right, Lundy. A bunch of news yesterday, as well as the NFL issued their brand spanking new vaccine mandate, trying to guarantee 272 games played this season. And it's basically like, get in line or run the risk. And DeAndre Hopkins was very vocal about his stance in regards to the new NFL issued policy, going as far as saying, you know, maybe I should step aside from football. Of course, he quickly deleted his tweet that he had posted those comments on Twitter. But it does beg the question whether or not DeAndre Hopkins has been vaccinated this year. Now, he's not disclosed any of that information, but look, it does play a factor in fantasy. It also plays a factor in betting, and still his props are live right now, and one of them 1,400.5 receiving yards. I'm taking the under on that. Available at Bet Rivers at minus 124. Look, Hopkins, according to some of the prognosticators out there, Fantasy Football Today, it's got it projected for 1,406 yards. But Mike Clady, ESPN, 1,372. And Jeff Ratcliffe, even more conservative, at 1,345. Last season on 160 targets, operating as the workhorse within this wide receiver core, 115 receptions, 1,407 yards, and 6 touchdowns. But you add A.J. Green, we'll see if he's got a gas left in the tank at his advanced age. You bring in the gadgety Rondale Moore, a kid that lit scoreboards on fire, boiler up, during his days at Purdue. Yeah, Diop, again, had a 29.4 target share last season and was number 2 in yak. It was number 10 in yards per route run. But Lundy, if he doesn't get 2 jabs, and if this Delta variant continues to wreak havoc across the country, and, you know, God forbid he gets infected, it's a minimum 10 days missed, which means he may not only miss one game, it's possible he misses 2. So knowing that is a card potentially in play here, and this number already pretty high to begin with, yeah, I think the under is a smart money wager. Again, 1,400.5, minus 124 at Bet Rivers. Fade or follow?
I will follow on this one. And in fact, Brad, even before everything came out yesterday and Twitter, did what Twitter does when news like this happens, I thought this number might be a little bit too high for him anyway, just because you try to move the ball around a little bit. You talked about trying to figure out what AJ's got in the tank. But I think the more Arizona wants to try to move this offense around, try to spread things out a little bit. Yes, you've got a stud in Hopkins, but you also can't sit there and have tunnel vision. You got to try to have some options within your offense. So I thought this number might have been a little bit pushing a little bit too high to begin with. But then you look at the question marks raised about the vaccination. And, you know, we always worry about somebody's health. So yep, when you've got a number this high, I tend to lean preseason towards the under, just because you do have a lot of different things that can happen between now and the end of the season when we're looking at the box scores.
DeAndre to dry up in the desert. Yep.
Number 4.
All right, let's move on and let's continue living the land down under. And this is one that kind of is baffling to me, that the line is this high, especially given recent events. Kadarius Toney, rookie out of the University of Florida, now a member of the New York Giants, and this one available at BetMGM. I am under 524.5 receiving yards, and it's not juiced to high heaven at minus 139. Why am I fading Toney? Well, it's pretty easy. He's on the COVID-19 list. He's a rookie who, if you looked at all of the scouting reports out there from esteemed writers and scouts, they've all said one thing, and one thing unanimously: this kid lacks route running polish. So these days missed in training camp are critical to his early development and potential impact here in year one. Now, he was a break tackle machine with the ball in his hands, explosive, got a lot of shimmy, shake, and power after the catch. Kind of a gadgety type, you know, that Paris Campbell, Percy Harvin-like mold. He had some sure hands, too, with the Gators chomping down on a lot of balls tossed his general direction by Kyle Trask. Only 3 drops on 123 catchable passes during his college career. But again, you got a crowded wide receiver core with Darius Slayton, Sterling Shepard, and the shiny new toy in Kenny Golladay. And a lot of the prognosticators out there, you know, even banking on Kadarius Toney to play 17 games this season, well under this total. Jeff Ratcliffe got him projected for 482. Fantasy Football Today at just 255 yards. And I think that one is going to be the winner, winner, chicken dinner here in the end. I don't think he's going to crack 300 yards, especially now well behind the eight ball, missing these pivotal days of practice in late July and early August. So fade or follow Kadarius Toney under 524.5 receiving yards, minus 139 at BetMGM.
Well, let's see. You're a rook. You're a slot guy that struggles sometimes with the routes. You've got sure hands, but it's a crowded wide receiver room. Who in the bleep decided to put this number at 524.5? Good Lord, that's way too high. I'm actually a little more bullish than you just talked about. I think he cracks 300, but I think he's literally like 310, 325. somewhere in that range. This number is set way, way, way too high for me, unless there is something that somebody out there knows that you and I don't, because I think the addition of Golladay is obviously huge for them. They must think there's going to be these massive negative game scripts where they're going to have to right? throw it to the slot. No, that doesn't make any sense to me. I think he's got a skill set that can be molded, but I don't think he's there yet. Despite his, top pick status with the Giants, he is going to be a work in progress. They're going to need to mold him a little bit, and I just don't see how he can get within sniffing distance of this number.
Tony. Nah, he's not going to do it again.
Number three.
All right, let's get a running back player prop in here for season-long devices, and let's focus on a player that is somewhat divisive in the fantasy community. You either love him or you hate him. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, sophomore running back, formerly the LSU Tigers, now a member of the Kansas City Chiefs. And the line just on rush yards, not receiving yards, not receptions, not combined yards, just rush yards, 900.5, and I am... Whoa, it's the theme today. Living in the land down under yet again at -111. This one available at BetMGM. Now, last season, his rookie campaign, CEH on 181. It carries at 803 rushing yards on 66.1% of the opportunity share. Had a laudable 2.98 yak per attempt mark. That was number 24 among all eligible running backs. Forced a missed tackle 19.3% of the time. And was number 21 in yards created per touch. But Darrell Williams is a guy that you shouldn't immediately write off because the coaching staff loves him. I think he's going to get more early down work than people suspect within arguably the best offense in the NFL. And CH has come out and said that he really wants to strive and improve in one area and one area primarily, and that is a pass catcher. And I think that is where he's going to be deployed more often than not. So I think the workload is going to be somewhat similar. I think he's going to toe the line of 200 carries in an expanded season. A lot of the forecasters out there, I think, tend to agree. Mike Clay He's got him at 896 rush yards. Jeff Ratcliffe at 864. Fantasy Football Today, however, on the over at 917. Again, I think it's a fair number. I think it's a solid number. But I think he's going to be right around 860, 875 rush yards when it's all said and done. His hilarious, Mr. Lundy, fade or follow on my under 900.5 rush yards. Again, -111 at BetMGM.
Not a bet I would make. However, for purposes of the pod, I will follow and I'll take the under. I think he's going to be close. You just talked about like 875. I think he's going to be close to this number. I think but I do think that Williams is underappreciated, as you said, in the fantasy community. And I think because of that, you've got to factor that into what you think CEH's numbers are going to be by the end of the season. So I actually think this could be a bet sweat type of thing. And I hate that for season long props.
Right.
So I'm going to, this is one I would stay away from in terms of my own personal betting. However, as we talk about, I always have to make a decision because, well, that's what we do here on the pod. So I will follow you on this one, although it's probably one I would avoid big time.
Yep. Be a coward. I'm taking the under, and comfortably so. You and I will agree to disagree on that one. Oh, with that, stick around for my top picks in Major League Baseball and bonus time.
Number two.
All right, Lundy, let's go to the diamond. And this one, I had to do like a triple take because I wasn't sure if my eyes were deceiving me. I wasn't sure the blurriness was from last night's high tequila consumption or, you know, just wiping the sleep out of my eyes or all the above. But Willie Peralta, who is a starting pitcher for the Detroit Tigers, is going up against Kansas City. His strikeout prop is just 2.5 punch outs at -120 at DraftKings Sportsbook. And I'm breaking out the sledgehammer on the over on this. Peralta has been over this in three of his last four turns of the rotation, and he has been pitching brilliantly in his last 24 innings pitched. Just one earned run, issued only six walks over that span. Kansas City struggling offensively here in the month of July, 685 OPS and number 16 in strikeout rate over the last 30 days. All I need is uno, dos, tres, three strikeouts. That's it for Willie Peralta. Are you with me? Fade or follow?
2.5? 2.5. This is like when you do the 0.5 3-pointers, right? Like you just kind of.
0.5 blocks for Giannis, and he gets like six in the game.
Right, exactly. I'll tell you what, just because it's such a low number, it's a Friday and I'm feeling frisky, and because of the fact that the first three pieces of the Fade 5 today were all unders and you're finally over on something, I mean, you apparently are in a mood today. I'm going to go ahead and follow you on this one. Let's see if he can pull it off. Get me to three. That's all I need. As you pointed out, he's done it in three out of the last four. So I am fingers crossed that all we need is a Three Amigos version of the strikeout prop, and we're feeling good.
You know, Tres Amigos is a tequila brand. Bartender! Bartender! Hair of the dog!
Number one.
All right, let's get in one more Major League Baseball selection here on this Freaky Friday, and it's my favorite one on the board. Give me the over on the L.A. Dodgers 5.5 runs against Chichi Gonzalez and the Colorado Rockies at minus 130. This one I pulled from DraftKings Sportsbook. I look at the Dodgers. They got a 788 home OPS on the season, and they are raking right now at the dish. 819 OPS in the month of July. They have gone over 5.5 runs in 6 of 10 games against the rival Rockies this season, and it's Chichi. Do you need any additional evidence? 6.64 ERA on the road this year. The last time he faced the Dodgers, his only start against the Blues this year, that was on July 16th. 4 innings pitched, 7 earned runs. He's going to get clocked again. Way over. Dodgers going to put up a ton of crooked numbers. So again, over 5.5 runs. LAD against the COL, minus 130. Fade or follow.
Yes, slam it over the fence at Chavez Ravine. Yes, I'm all over this one. This is going to be an easy over. As you pointed out, the 7 earned runs the last time. The thing about Gonzalez with the Rockies is it is kind of a feast or famine with him. You know, you look at the start he had against the Brewers back at the end of June, 1 earned run, right?
Yeah.
But he also played the Brewers at Coors Field about a week sooner, gave up 6. Like, it's just he is up and down, and unfortunately he's going to go against the Dodgers team that's super super hot at home and is going to rack up the numbers. So, yes, it would not surprise me at all to see the Dodgers put 7 on the board by the time this is all said and done. So a team total at 5.5, yes, sir, smash that one over the fence.
All right, before we get out of here for the weekend and party on down, let's work in some bonus times, Lundy. We got opening ceremonies tonight in the Olympics. Anything to bet on there?
Yes, well, we could because it's actually already happened, and we're going to be watching it on tape delay.
Oh, yeah, damn it!
So, yeah, well, we, you know, that's what's kind of weird about the Olympics, right? You got to make sure you're paying attention to the live. Let me give you a couple. First of all, hat tip to our friends at DraftKings Sportsbook who have come up with some really cool new props when it comes to baseball, including a category they call daily specials, Brad. Mm. And daily specials include things like the highest scoring game of the day. Yesterday, I got that one with Detroit and Texas in the afternoon game. So let me see if I can stay on a hot streak there. Highest scoring game of the day at plus 800, Brad. Give me the Angels and the Twins. That's who I will take to be the highest scoring game of the day. My other bonus time picks, give me Trey Mancini for an RBI at plus 160. And give me both Texas and the Yankees on the run line. They are both underdogs, so it's plus 1.5 for each one of them. That payday is a plus 186.
Yes, the post-Nelson Cruz era for the Minnesota Twinkies. All right, my bonus times. Give me Freddy Peralta. Over 7.5 strikeouts at home against the Southsiders of Chicago. The White Sox, number 15 in K rate over the last 30 days. Now, Peralta's been over this in just 6 of his last 12, but he is well-rested. This is his first start since the All-Star break, and he's got a sparkling 2.04 home ERA with an 11.82 K per 9. I think it's a snowman in the box score. 8 strikeouts exactly for Peralta. Give me Justin Turner. Over 1.5 total bases at plus 105 against Chichi Gonzalez and that Colorado Rockies rotation. 3.08 batting average in his career against Chichi with a home run and 3 RBIs. He's batting 370 over his last 30 days. And the real-life gritty, a 406 batting average against Colorado with 13 RBIs and 32 at-bats this summer. So I think Justin Turner is going to rake. Oh, and here's some Olympic action for S's and G's. On Sunday, give me Francais. Parlez-vous Francais? Plus 12 against Team USA. I think Rudy Gobert is going to keep this one in single digits. I think there's going to be some early chemistry issues for Team USA, though that team is ultimately stacked. And then give me the Aussies. Oi, oi, oi. -7.5 against Nigeria, a team that they handled during the exhibition slate that was played recently in Vegas, Australia, with Patty Mills there, Matthew Dellavedova, Ingles, and a host of other NBA or former NBA players. I think are going to win this thing by 9-11 in the end against Nigeria. Also has a few NBA players, including Precious Achiuwa. So still, those two on Sunday, a little doubleheader action for you if you want to get in on some of the round ball in the Olympics. All right, with that, that is a wrap on this edition of the Fade the Noise podcast. Please follow Lundy on Twitter, at Nate Lundy. Follow me there, at Noisy Huevos. Drop us a rating and a review, would you kindly? And as well, as always, until next time, fade or follow. That is up to you.
Fade the Noise.